It's live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Twink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you are not following me on Twitter, I've already started to tweet out for the show today, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, where you ask, we solve, and we give you all kinds of really amazing information. You'll also want to go to my website, thinkglink.com, and check out our intentional investor webinar series. If you are going to buy a house for investment or a property this year and you haven't watched this webinar, you're not taking advantage of every piece of information that you can. We've introduced the webinar series, 9 episodes, 2.5 hours. You could even do one, just buy one if you want to, but it is at an amazing price. It is at the half-off discount, get-in-now price, like we always do. We're doing this now instead of doing a seminar, because we just think it's better for you to not have to wait 3 months until the seminar happens to learn how to buy real estate, because now is the best time. It's the end, actually, of the best time to buy investment real estate. And here's how I know. In Barron's this week, Randall Forsythe, who is writing for Alan Abelson, who's on leave, talks about how everyone smart is selling whatever they can. So we know houses are selling because we talk about it every week on the show, that the real estate market has turned. It's getting hotter. There's not enough housing inventory. People are out there looking for things to buy and hold. There's nowhere else to put your money. Companies are selling like crazy. So there's a guy named Leon Black, who's chairman and chief executive of Apollo Global Management, big hedge fund. And he's declared that he's harvesting. The word is a specific choice, folks. Harvesting. He's harvesting. He's not even selling. He's not selling what he has. He's harvesting the gains. He has sold $13 billion in assets over the last 15 months. And here's what he's saying. He says, we're selling everything that's not nailed down. And if we're not selling, we're refinancing. Selling everything. So everybody is selling who has things to sell, because people who are buying think there's not enough to buy, which is why the stock market hit 15,000 on Friday. It closed just under that at like 14,977 or something. But it hit 15,000. So take a step back. If you're selling, this is an extraordinary time to sell. Maybe in history. Prices are sky high. The stock market is sky high. And all of this is being caused by the lowest interest rates in history. And not just here, all over the place. Europe is in such a deep mess, the ECB, the European Central Bank, cut its lending rate by 0.5% on Friday to, get this, 0.25%. The difference between paying 0.75 and 0.25 is like nothing. It's already like nothing. And companies and people are borrowing like mad, right? So why is there a buying spree? Why are prices at all-time highs? Because the cost to borrow the money to buy them is like zero. Zero. So Apple just borrowed $17 billion that bond dealers lined up so deeply for, they could have probably borrowed $117 billion. Apple borrowed $17 billion for less than 0.5%, 0.45%, for 3 years on a fixed rate. Why? Because it's cheaper for Apple to borrow the money than repatriate its cash to the U.S. and pay taxes to investors. They saved $9 billion in taxes. They're going to pay investors $100 billion. And what are they even earning on their cash flow right now? Apple is earning 11% return on its free cash. 11%. So you do the math. Apple borrows $17 billion at less than 0.5%. They're earning 11% on their money. Of course they're going to borrow it. I'm just surprised they didn't borrow $50 billion. They're able to earn 10.5% on their free cash without doing anything. And these days, it's almost like they should be in the business of investing money and not making iPads and iPhones. Everyone is borrowing money like crazy, and investors are lining up to take the bait. And yes, we can talk about it. We can talk about the idea that there were more people hired last month than expected. Okay, and it was revised up. Great. Good for the U.S. But when government bonds in Spain, Italy, and Portugal are averaging 4.5% to 5.5%, and these countries are deep in recession, Spain has almost a third of its employees unemployed. A third of the population is unemployed in Spain, just about. Something isn't right. These countries are in recession. They are not doing well. It has been like 7 quarters of recession in Europe. And here's something else. Countries like Rwanda and Slovenia. Slovenia was recently, like, on the Cyprus hit list. Are selling 5-year securities for 4.95% and 10-year securities for 6%. These are supposed to be high yield. These should be in, like, the double-digit range. Is Rwanda, like, a safe place to put your money? That's what 4% yield means. That is not high risk. That is not high yield. That is what looks like safe. The safe bet is Rwanda. The safe bet is Slovenia. Where does that make sense in the world? I don't know. It doesn't make sense in the world. And you have to kind of look at this with wonderment. And you have to think to yourself, what are investors thinking? Right? They're thinking, there's no place else to put my money, so this has got to be safe. These countries' governments aren't going to let my money fall to the wayside. Like in the subprime mortgage days, right? When anybody with a pulse could walk into a bank and borrow 10 times their income without putting anything down. Do you remember those days? We used to talk about them on the show here. And I would say, in what world could somebody who earns $30,000 a year cash as a gardener, right, borrow $300,000 without putting anything down to buy a house? In what world does that make sense? And people would call the show and say, Elise, you just don't understand. I don't understand the new math. But I did understand the new math, and it just didn't make any sense. And what I am saying to you now is this world that's being painted doesn't make any sense to me. I guess I could be wrong. And Leon Black of Apollo Global Management, he could be wrong. And people who look at this for a living, the traders, I sat next to a trader at a benefit dinner last night that I went to, and he trades what he calls hard commodities. He trades cattle, and he trades corn and some soybeans and, you know, like old-fashioned trading, right? He's like, cows have value. Like, I can understand a piece of meat. I can understand a pound of pork roast. I can understand, you know, a bin of grain. I can't understand bonds anymore. He used to trade bonds. He said, none of this makes sense. He's looking for an offshore place to park his money. I'm like, really? He goes, I'm not looking for an offshore place to park my money. But his point is, none of this makes sense to him either, and this is what he does for a living every day. Does it sound like smart business? Does it sound like it makes sense in the world? It doesn't to me. I look at this and I think to myself, what is tangible? What do I really understand? I understand real estate. I understand investing in real estate because houses aren't going to disappear overnight. Value has disappeared overnight. We've seen that. We've also seen value comes back. It may not come back to where you want it to be, where it was at the hyperinflated level that you might have bought it at 2005 or 2006. But there is value in a house. There is, people need a place to live. And they're going to put money down every month in the form of rent to live in a place, to shelter their family, to contain their possessions, to call it home. Because a house is always so much more to the people who live there than just four walls, a ceiling, and a floor. It becomes a part of the fabric of their lives. And no, you shouldn't overpay for it, but as an investor, when you can borrow money at nearly 0% to buy something tangible, that I understand. That I understand. And mortgage interest rates fell again this week to the lowest level ever. 15-year rates were like at 2.5%, 2.5% for a 15-year rate. The 10 rate is like nearly at 2%. It's like 2.25%. The banks are making no money on this. Well, they're making money in fees, but the investors, they're buying your loan because they're banking on the fact that you're going to keep paying that mortgage. And you probably will, unless we have another huge, great recession and another 5 million people are out of work. Borrowing money to buy something that you understand is important. And the one thing people understand right now is housing. And they understand investing. And they understand what you want to do with that house. So, investing. Wildly successful in real estate. That's why I'm out there teaching you and talking about investing in real estate. Because this is the one place that you can understand. I can't understand it when the prices get wild and crazy, but as long as, and especially here in Atlanta, where there's so much more inventory than in the rest of the country, where rents will cover the price that you pay, and it will cover it because the interest rate is so low, this is where you want to intentionally invest. This is why I call my webinar series The Intentional Investor, because I want you to invest with intention. I want you to think about how to be smart when you invest. I want you to understand real estate investor qualities. I want you to learn how to identify amazing opportunities. Do it the right way. Build a dream real estate team. This is how you become a smart investor. You become a buyer, but of the thing that you really understand, not bonds in Slovenia. I don't understand bonds in Slovenia. Go to my website, thinklink.com, click on the red house, read about my intentional investor series. If you are going to buy a piece of real estate this year, do this first. Great investment for you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It is 20 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Kling live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. Follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Hey, Rhonda, welcome back.
Thanks.
So things are going really well for sellers. Give us three tips on what sellers should do right now to get their homes ready for sale.
Well, this has changed a lot, okay? We used to say you had to have your house this way, and you had to have it this way, and then you had to do this, and you had to do that. Right now, all you really have to do is straighten up and get it on the market.
All right, so clean. Clean is important.
But you know, I don't even know if people understand what clean is, so I just say straighten up now, you know? Make it presentable so you wouldn't be embarrassed, but put it on the market. There's 36,000 homes on the market right now. In the past, 2008, summer, 110,000. You see the gap there that we're missing?
Yeah.
And yet buyers are frustrated because the interest rates are going up. People have stabilized in what they perceive as their own personal economy. It's the time. So don't labor yourself and have this procrastination mode as a seller, like, well, we've got to do the pine straw, we've got to paint, we've got to... Don't do all that. Just get it clean, get it straightened up, and put it on the market.
But are you seeing prices back where they were in 2006 and 2007?
Not exactly, but not as bad as people perceive it was or is right now. People are making profit on their homes. It's surprising.
It is surprising. Is it neighborhood-based, or are you seeing this sort of everywhere?
It's everywhere. It's based on the location that the person wants to move to, based on their own lifestyle.
So there's not even three things that you would tell people to do. Right now you're saying it's so hot out there, all you need to do is just straighten up.
Well, maybe the three things would be call Duffy Realty, get a game plan and a strategy of how you're going to sell this pretty quickly, and put it on the market.
All right. Sounds good. Rhonda Duffy, are you going to put more stuff on your website?
Sure. RhondaDuffy.com.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us today. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Elise Blank Show next on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 35 minutes past the hour on the Elise Blank Show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at GLINK. Taking your calls now, 404-872-0750. Kara joins us on the line. Kara, what's going on in your world today?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. What are you doing these days?
Well, I'm in a little pickle and I'm wanting to get your advice. I have right now an FHA loan that I was trying to get streamlined to get a lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought me down to, right now what I owe is about $146. And
you owe $146,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, and I'm paying an outrageous amount of money right now per month. My interest rate was 6%.
How long have you had the loan, Kara?
I've had it for about almost 10 years.
That's a long time. How come you haven't tried to refinance before this?
Just bad credit. And I'm actually on the FHA loan with my father and myself only.
Uh-huh.
So I got a rate that brought it down, but it will only save me $120 a month for a 20-year at 3.75%.
Okay.
And that's really not going to help me too much.
What's going on in your life? Why are you having trouble making these payments?
Well, I'm about to go through a divorce.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Is it a really nasty one?
No, it won't be, but financially it's going to hurt. And I could lose the house if I can't get my payment down, basically.
Do you have children?
I do.
How old are they?
I have a six-year-old, but I have stepchildren, and I also have a niece and nephew that I'm about to adopt that are living with me. So,
wow! So you have
like
you're going to have
five or six, yeah.
You're going to have five. Are you going to have the stepchildren living with you too?
Not permanently.
Okay, but you will have your six-year-old and the niece and nephew. How old are the niece and nephew?
11 and 14.
So three kids. Single mom.
Mm-hmm. And my mother-in-law lives with me.
The husband you're divorcing, his mother lives with you too?
Yes.
Okay, so how is this man not thanking you for, like, taking in his whole family? I'm sorry.
No, you know, that's what everyone's been asking me. I'm like, well, you know, but I have a big heart.
I know you have a big heart, but now you have to have a wallet to match your heart.
Exactly.
Is he not going to provide enough support for you to keep
Mm-mm.
the house?
Mm-mm. No, and that's why I'm in this pickle. So, I mean, I was thinking of other options. I mean, would it be a possibility to have my parents buy the house? And they'd be like the bankers? I mean, is that something that...
Well, how much is the house worth right now? Are you
I didn't get it appraised, but like if you look on, I forget what it's called, it shows that it's worth about $120.
Okay, so you're underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And your loan's at $146.
Mm-hmm. That's what I owe so far. Mm-hmm.
So, but your dad is already on the
yeah.
loan. So,
yeah.
Have you talked to your parents about this?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they say?
They're open to helping in any way.
So here's what really should happen. I know that $120 a month doesn't sound like it's going to be enough. What would be the right amount for you?
I would need I would need to save about $400 a month.
Okay, that's not going to happen with your loan.
No.
I mean, it doesn't. There's nothing that the bank can do for you here because they're giving you a 20-year at 3.75%. Mm-hmm. You could ask them for a 30-year, but they're not allowed to do refinancings which cost you more. And that would cost you more over the long run.
Right.
So the fact that they're offering you 20 years at 3.75% is an amazing opportunity for you, even though it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're cutting it down. It's the same amount of time, and you're going to save, $1,500 a year. So that's just not enough. So now what you have to do is think about how you can get the extra $300 a month or $280 a month that you need. And the cheapest, best thing is for your dad to just give you $280 a month.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper than owning the house. It's cheaper than anything. You could take it as a loan from him if you really need to. Over the years, you're going to be so happy that you have this rate on this property.
What if I went down? Like, what if I asked them for, like,
a 15-year rate?
Mm-hmm.
You could ask them for a 15-year rate.
I know, I have to pay more, but, I mean, it might be cheaper in the long run.
It won't be much cheaper.
It won't?
No. I mean, you'll save yourself 5 years of payments, but but the rate they might give you might go down from 3.75 to 3.25%.
Yeah, okay.
It's not cheap. What's happening here is because you're underwater, you're still paying mortgage insurance for this loan. And that's really what's killing you. If you got rid of the mortgage insurance, if you actually bought down the loan, then that actually would give you probably another $200 a month.
Right.
So you could say to your dad, Dad, put $50,000 or $60,000 into my loan, and then you're going to refinance at a much lower amount, and there's your $400. But he has to put down $50,000, $60,000 in cash. It's cheaper for him to just give you $280 a month for the next 10 years.
Right. I mean, should I even think about just trying to short sell the house and buy a different house?
Well, you can do that if there's a house in the neighborhood. But honestly, Kara, you have a lot on your plate right now. You're getting a divorce. There's going to be five kids?
Mm-hmm.
Five kids, a mother-in-law, a divorce, a soon-to-be ex-husband who's not really going to do right by you.
Right.
You also want to sell your house and move at the same time?
I mean, I don't want to, but I want to be able to keep a house and be able to protect everyone financially and not go bankrupt. I'm trying to look at it.
So
in the long run.
Are you concerned about going bankrupt?
Yeah, I am, because I won't be getting, enough from him, and I just don't know how I'm going to be able to make paying the bills with this, even if I'm only saving, $120.
Let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. How much are you spending per month on your mortgage, taxes, and insurance?
$1,320.
Okay, can you rent a house that's big enough for everybody for $1,320 a month?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you have to ask yourself that question, right?
Right.
Can you buy another house in the neighborhood? Could you sell this one? You're going to have to short sell it, which means you're not going to be able to buy another house. You'd have to buy the house first and then sell this one.
Right.
Can you buy a house for $50,000, $70,000 in your neighborhood?
No.
Okay. So then if you want to stay in your neighborhood, okay. So if you're not being realistic, you have to look at what's realistic in your life.
Right.
So you got to go to your dad and say, here's what I'm thinking, right? Okay. I'm thinking that I'm going to be short about $300 a month.
Okay.
That's $3,600 a year. So in 10 years, it's $36,000. I guess you could pay down my loan, and pay it down by $50,000, take me down to $100,000 in loan, and that means that I'm going to have some equity in the house and I can refinance for a lot lower and save the money that way. Do you want to do that? Can he help me that way? Or do you want to just give me $300 a month for a while until I get back on my feet and I'm earning more money?
That makes perfect sense.
I just feel like we have to be realistic about what your options are going to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you sound
I told you.
I'm so glad you did, because you sound to me, Kara, like this really smart, determined woman with obviously a huge heart, and you don't want anything bad to happen to anybody. You want to take care of everybody, and I want somebody to take care of you.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not talking about this deadbeat ex-husband, soon-to-be ex-husband of yours, but I want you to take care of you, and it sounds like you're doing that, and I want to put you in the best position possible, because you, I assume you work, right?
Oh, definitely.
So maybe in a couple of years you'll be making more money.
Mm-hmm.
$300 a month more isn't that much more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll be doing that and you won't need your dad's help anymore. Or maybe he's still going to want to give it to you because the kids are going to cost more money or whatever it is.
Right.
And I assume your mother-in-law contributes to the cost of caring for her, right?
She does. She does help. She's got Social Security, so she does help with things.
Awesome. So I'm sure she totally appreciates
absolutely
that you are taking her in and her grandchildren, your stepchildren, and so this is how you're. This is the definition of a modern family these days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people that technically are not going to be related to you are living with you, and you're caring for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that just speaks to the quality of human being you are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your advice. That really helps.
It's going to be okay. If your parents are willing to help a little bit now, I think within 5 years, the situation is going to take care of itself. And you're going to be so happy you have this loan at 3.75%.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 years, you got to look to the long run. You're going to be just fine.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
All right. Let me know what happens.
As well. Thank you so much.
All right. I care, Kara. 47 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're taking your calls now. Lines are wide open. Happy to help out if I can. So the thing with Kara, the teaching moment with Kara, is that here's this woman with the most incredible heart, right? She's got her one child. She's taking in a niece and a nephew who she's going to adopt. She's got two stepchildren, five kids, a mother-in-law, soon to be ex-mother-in-law who wants to go with her, right? Who's got the winning team? She's got the winning team. The soon-to-be ex-husband, obviously a major loser. This woman's got the winning team. And so when you're in a situation like this, where you have a big heart and you're trying to make it all work, people want to help you. Family wants to help. Maybe they can't, you know, walk in with a huge bag of money, but they can do a little bit. And what you have to do is take a look at where you are. Kara is at ground zero. When I talk about rebuilding America, rebuilding your own house, she is at ground zero. She has recognized she is $300 a month short. And she is looking for a way to build that together so that she can then move on. So she's got to think strategically, right? I mean, when I talk about these rules for rebuilding America, and it's get yourself to ground zero, she's at ground zero. She recognizes what she has to do and how she's going to move forward. She also recognizes how to think strategically. She didn't have quite all the pieces to put together. We did that together on the show this morning. But she recognizes that she has to think strategically, and what she was missing was the long-term perspective. Today, it's incredibly difficult, but over the next 5 years, locking in this loan at 3.75% for 20 years is going to be a huge windfall down the line. Her income is going to go up. She's only $300 a month short. It's $3,600 a year. She is going to be able to build that in. Her parents will help. Her mother-in-law will help. She is helping herself. When you are rebuilding your life, you have to look out and think about who is going to be there for you. You're there for other people. They're going to be there for you as well. And you've got to put the pieces together and build it piece by piece by piece until all pieces of your life are working together. And that's what Kara's doing. And I am wildly impressed with what she is about to do. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours here on News Talk WSB.
In the same way as I.
56 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750. Follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Nelson joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Hey, Nelson.
Oh, hi, Elise. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, I heard earlier about this being supposedly the best time to sell a house. There's all kind of buyers, and they're snapping them up. My wife and I plan to retire just about a year from now, end of May or early June.
Mm-hmm.
And the house is paid for. We have a retirement home purchased already up in Blue Ridge in the mountains. And, you know, if we wait till next year to retire, if we sell the house now, of course, we'd have to find a place to rent.
Right.
And I don't know the trade-off between waiting to sell the house and finding a place to rent now if we do sell the house today or soon.
So I don't think that there's anything but good news if you wait until next year to sell. And the reason I say that, Nelson, is, first of all, there will be a cost to selling and finding a place to move and rent and then move again into your retirement home. Even if you send most of your stuff up there, you're still going to have to do a double move. And that's just going to cost you money. So I'm not sure that that's, and it's time and it's exhausting, right, to move?
It is.
So waiting until next year, interest rates are still going to be low. The government, you know, the Federal Reserve Board has made it really clear that they are not raising interest rates anytime soon. And in fact, interest rates around the world are coming down still. We talked about the ECB, the European Central Bank, having interest rates fall again. And so when you're in a situation where countries and their central bankers are lowering interest rates, you know, the interest rate in this country is not going up right now. So that means that the buying spree will continue. People will continue to look for homes to buy, and next year the home prices are going to be a little bit higher than they are right now. So I don't see any reason why your house shouldn't just be an appreciating asset for you over the next year, and you and your wife should sell when it's the right time for you. And it sounds to me like next year, when you plan to retire, is to do it. I wouldn't push it up right now for anything. It could change, and if it does, you know that I'll be talking about that. But in the meantime, you and your wife should sit tight and just plan it out and do things on your schedule strategically. Don't have, it's number three on my hit list of rebuilding your life, right? Number three, make strategic, not emotional decisions. You make a strategic decision to sell because it's the right time for you and your wife, not an emotional one based on the fact that people are buying houses like crazy right now. And I think it'll all work out for you. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. We are at 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, the website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you aren't following me on Twitter, you're missing half the fun. I've been tweeting during the show, of course, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Happy to take your questions. We're going to go to the phones. There's a couple of lines open if you want to give us a call. 404-872-0750. I want to talk a little bit more about investing. I want to talk about what went on with Wall Street hitting a all-time high, breaking the 15,000 mark, which is absolutely unbelievable. We also had an employment report, which seemed really good, made me very nervous. I talked about that in the first hour, but there's lots more to discuss. So 404-872-0750. But let's go to Bradley. He's been waiting for a while from Douglasville. Hi, Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
Things are good. What's going on with you this Sunday?
Nothing much. I actually had a question about refinancing on my mortgage.
Okay.
I have an FHA loan. I had purchased the house back in 2008. At the time, I was getting married.
What happened with that? What do you mean you were getting married?
Well, we got married, and then 10 months later, we got divorced.
Oh.
And I ended up having
hard.
To refinance just to get her name off the mortgage, and I got stuck with the house. And we also had a tax credit attached to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when I refinanced, I got it at 5.85, I think.
Okay.
And I actually ran into another situation where my father lost his job. And so now I'm living with them, and I'm wondering, would it be smart to refinance, even though I'm looking into possibly renting or selling my house?
All right, let's back up a little bit, because your personal situation is pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night going, wow, how did I get here? Because that's what I'm thinking as I'm listening to your story.
Just about every night.
Just about every night. So let's recap. Your father lost a job. Your parents moved in with you. You had a very...
I moved in with my parents.
You moved in with them. So
so that I could help them with whatever bills or, you know, anything that they needed help with.
So who's living in your house?
Nobody. My house is vacant right now.
Ah, okay. I didn't understand that. So... the house being vacant is kind of a problem. Are you going to... why haven't you rented out the house?
Nobody's wanting to rent it out right now.
That's unbelievable. Why is that? Is it the neighborhood?
No, it's a real nice neighborhood. Nice, quiet neighborhood. Everybody's friendly. It's a lot of elderly people that live in the neighborhood.
Well, what about selling this house?
But that's one of the options, and that's what I was calling. If it would be smart to refinance just on my behalf until I sell it, or...
Well, if you're not living in the house, it's going to be really hard to refinance. So the house has to be your primary residence for you to get an FHA streamline refinance. So Kara, earlier in the show, she had a loan for about 6% on FHA, and she was offered 3.75% for 20 years. So moving back into the house so that when you apply for the streamline refinance, it makes sense, is probably what you should do.
Okay.
Then you'll get that loan and, you know, a 20-year at 3.75% is a whole lot better than where you are now. Once you've got that, then you can decide if you want to rent it or sell it. Now, I assume because you bought it in 2008, the house is not underwater, is it?
I haven't had it appraised.
What's everything else selling for in the neighborhood?
Dirt cheap.
Okay, so is it underwater? Are homes selling?
Yeah, I still owe about $75,000 on it.
Okay, and
It was I had it down to about $60,000, and then when I refinanced, it jumped me back up to about $85,000.
I don't understand. Your loan was at $60,000, and suddenly your loan was at $85,000. Somebody added $25,000.
No. When I bought it, I had paid it down to about $60,000.
Okay.
Because I was paying more on the monthly payments, and then when I refinanced, I didn't have the money to pay for the closing costs and all of that, and it jumped it back up to around $79,000 to about $80,000, a little more.
Okay. I'm just going to say this again, Bradley. You added $20,000 in closing costs to a $60,000 loan?
I didn't understand it neither.
Why did you refinance?
I had to in order to get her name off the house.
Did you have to take cash out to pay her?
Yeah, I had to pay her too, yeah.
So that came out of the $20,000?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. It wasn't $20,000 in closing costs. You had you did a cash out refinance to pay her off.
Yeah, I had to pay her an empty penny.
Okay. So your loan is now about $75,000.
Yeah.
And if you can get that refinanced, or actually what you want to do is just get an FHA streamline refinance. So what you need to do is call lenders and say, I have this house with and I want to do an FHA streamline refinance. And they'll say, do you live in the house? And you'll need to say yes.
Okay.
And you'll need to make that true.
Okay. Okay.
So since you just moved in with your parents, I'm sure you can just move back into your house, and that's what you'll have to do. And then
okay,
when
everything's still at my house, I just kind of just uprooted myself to my parents' house.
Okay, so you'll just tell them that is your primary residence, and
yeah.
It sounds like it's really true. So you're going to go there, do that, get an FHA streamline refinance, and then you ought to be able to find some tenants who will rent that property from you at a way that would cover those expenses. So at least you're not bleeding money. What I want you to do is to stop bleeding money.
Yeah, that's what we've been trying to do, but people are wanting to rent the house out with no deposit and $400 a month, and it's just, to me, that just doesn't seem logical.
Right, it isn't logical. What are homes selling for in the neighborhood?
The neighborhood across the street from mine, there's a, I think it was a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, two-car garage that sold for about $48,000.
Wow.
And about three houses in my neighborhood sold for about $30,000 and $40,000.
Okay. So you're really underwater by 50%. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. There's no... I mean, this is just a colossal mess. So you could try and sell the house, do a short sale, get out from under. But if you have good credit, you ought to be able to make the numbers work with $80,000 in a loan at 3.75%. So go for a streamline refinance. They should charge you almost nothing for closing costs. It should be a couple $100. They should not be pulling an appraisal. They should not need to verify any of your information. This is just a streamline, FHA streamline refinance to get you down so that you're in a better place. And then once you're there and that loan is locked in, you may find that if you can find somebody at $500 or $600 a month, it's going to cover the costs.
Okay.
At least for a year. You may also want to try a lease with an option to buy, because somebody's going to want to buy your house, and for a year, you know, they'll be much more invested in the property if they think they're going to actually buy it than somebody who's just renting it.
I had one person that was wanting to do that, but he didn't want to have to pay a deposit up front. And the main reason why I'm requiring a deposit is because I know a lot of people, first-time home buyers, they might not have anything. And with me not having to pack up everything and take it to my house, I'm offering to leave, you know, dresser, couch.
I think having a deposit is smart. I mean, you're only asking them for $600. If they can't come up with that, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what you're supposed to do about that.
And that's, I've had a couple people that have said they can't do it because of the deposit. And, you know, that's, coming, running into that issue kind of put me into a bad spot, bad mindset, you know, not knowing what I can do. And
but there will be somebody else out there who can. So you have to, you know, this is part of being a landlord. I talk about this in my intentional investor webinar series. Being a landlord is not easy. It's not for everybody. My husband, Sam, who's a real estate attorney who on paper should be like the world's best landlord, he hates it. He hates it. And I'm always like, let's buy another property. He's like, no, because I have to manage it and I hate it. Not everybody likes it.
Yeah.
So if you have an investment, just because it's going to make money for you down the line doesn't mean you're going to like it. And I just feel like people should landlord if they really like that, and it's not for everybody. So you'll have to make that decision. But what we're talking about is a short-term fix so that you stop bleeding money. And getting this FHA streamline refinance is going to be the first part of that.
Okay.
All right?
Is there any company to go with on refinancing that you'd recommend?
Start with your own lender. See if they'll do an FHA streamline refinance. And if they won't, you can call anybody. Any of them can do it for you.
Okay. I had called my lender probably late last year, and they told me that I couldn't refinance because I haven't lived in my house long enough.
You bought your house in 2008.
And I refinanced in 2009.
That's
when I refinanced to get my ex-wife's name off the mortgage.
Right. Well, 2009 is sort of an interesting year. I would try again.
Okay.
And if you can't, then the plan B is going to be that you're going to have to either stick it out or you're going to have to sell it a short sale.
Okay.
And that's a separate issue. But start with trying to do the FHA Streamline Refinance. You can read about it online at HUD.gov. And just when you get to the search bar on HUD.gov, and I'll tweet this out at our next commercial break, type in FHA Streamline Refinance, and it'll tell you the rules. And you'll have to see if you fall into that. But, you know, I really think this is going to be a good move for you. I truly do. Let me know what happens. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. At least we can start one. John joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, John.
Hey, Elise. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. What's going on in your world?
Well, I am currently looking into my first investment in real estate. And what I'm looking at is an empty piece of property and just, you know, building a little spec home on it and reselling kind of thing. What I'm wondering is, should I be aware of underlying costs, things that may not be apparent in my first time ever, you know, ever doing this venture?
So, John, it at the risk of sounding like incredibly crass and self-promoting, but I'm just going to do this. I have created a 9-part webinar series called The Intentional Investor, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate for Somebody Like You. Because when you are investing in real estate for the first time, there are so many things. I couldn't even begin. I would spend the rest of the show talking to you about the underlying costs and the things that you have to be aware of. Because there is so much in real estate when you are investing for the first time. And you are picking a particularly difficult thing. You're buying vacant property, which you can't even really get a loan on. And now you're going to build a spec home, for which it's going to be incredibly difficult to get a loan on, to then sell to do, you know, turn around for somebody else. So there are a lot of ways to make money with vacant property. Building a spec home is an interesting idea, but there's a lot of inventory out there. So what are you competing against, and what's the price point you're looking at, and all the finishes and all the rest? So I think you need to step back and start to educate yourself a little bit first. And I, at the risk, again, of being a little salesy, I'm going to say, go to my website, click on the red house, and watch the Intentional Investor, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate webinar series. Because if you are thinking about making this investment, be the smartest investor that you can be. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours here on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Seven minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. When we come back, I'm going to take some calls. We have a couple of lines open. We're going to blow through like we always do. Your calls, so that we can answer as many questions as we can, as I can. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I think is going to happen this week with some of the revision to the economic numbers. So we're going to go through that as well on the show. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Intentional Investor webinar series on my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com, because I truly feel that if you are investing in real estate now, and you don't have access to the very best information, you are missing out. And this is going to be there as a beacon for you. I promise. All right, 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be back with more in a moment on News Talk WSB. Hey, it's 35 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, online all the time. The website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Glink. Check out my Intentional Investor webinar series, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. Just click on the red button on my website, The Red House. It'll tell you everything you need to know. All right, let's go to the phones, 404-872-0750. Fred joins us on the line from Stone Mountain. Hi, Fred.
Hello. I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on? I'm reading regarding a lot of investors who are using Chapter 11 to restructure their debt. They're taking their mortgages, like investors who have, say, 20 or so houses, they're taking their mortgages and then cramming them down to the current value using a Chapter 11. Because what I'm finding is investors that have that many mortgages, a lot of mortgage companies won't refinance investment.
If you go through, right, Fred, but if you go through bankruptcy, they're not going to give you more loans anyway.
Right, they're not going to give you more loans, but they're going to refinance the current mortgages to the current value.
I don't know how many investors are doing that successfully. There are a number of lenders that are. Sometimes that happens more with commercial loans than with residential loans. But I personally don't know any investors who are doing that.
Okay.
So are you in that situation where you have 20 properties?
I have a number of properties, and, I'm current on all the properties. I don't have a problem with it. But what I'm having a problem with is that the mortgage companies won't refinance the mortgages.
Well, why would they? You're on time with everything. You can afford them.
Well, I'm saying they won't refinance to give me a lower interest rate is what I'm looking at.
Okay. Well, bankruptcy isn't going to be the answer to your problem.
But
right?
How familiar are you with cramming down your mortgage?
How familiar am I? I understand what that value is. It sounds to me like you're underwater on a lot of your loans.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm saying I'm current making the payments, but yeah, you are. A lot of investors are underwater on the loan. So I'm saying, and the mortgage company, if you bought these houses in 2000 and 2010, you have higher interest rates, and of course you had, the houses appraised.
But Fred, you're talking about two different things, right? The first thing you're talking about is the interest rate being a lot lower today than when you bought the properties. The other thing you're talking about is that you made an investment and now you're underwater and you want the bank to step up.
Why should the bank step up and refinance?
Well, how can they refinance your property when it's underwater?
Okay, I understand that.
So you're asking them to do something that doesn't fit into their square box.
Okay.
So they need a reason to do that. The reason would be because you're going to default on the loan if they don't. That's really what you're saying to me is, I'm prepared to default on my loan if you don't fix the interest rate for me. But you're actually making payments. Are you making money on all of these on a month-to-month basis?
Yes, I'm staying ahead. But my point is, of course, I would love to have current interest rates on some of these properties.
Sure, of course you would. But that is not what I'm trying to say to you is, you made your investment bed, and now you want the banks to fix that. And I'm saying to you that some of them might and others of them won't. But if you have 20 properties, expecting the 20 lenders to take a big haircut may not be reasonable when you're current on all of your mortgages, because their expectation is you're current, you're going to stay current.
Right.
So it's not like you're late.
Right, but that seems to be a big problem. I mean, these same banks, the same banks that won't refinance are the same banks that was bailed out with my taxpayers' money. I mean, it's the same bank. And they won't turn around and refinance the people who are in good standing, but they're modifying the loans of people who are late on their mortgage,
but those people are living in those properties. There are some lenders that will refinance your investment property, but not all of them will, and not all of them have to. And if you've listened to the show for a long time, you know that there are millions of people that the banks have refused to help who I think they should help.
Right.
And they're not. And the reason that you wanted them to take the money so that they got bailed out is because if we don't have a stable financial system in this country, as I've often said, we're all sunk.
Right.
So
right.
You want your peace is really what you're saying to me. And I'm saying to you, you may or may not get it, but there's nothing that's guaranteed. And if you want to go through bankruptcy and cram down your properties, you're as likely to have them taken away. That there is no requirement that anybody help you. You're on time. You're making money with these properties. There's no reason to expect that you won't continue to make money. You want everybody else in America to bail you out for a bad decision. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. I do think helping people who have lost their jobs and can't make money, can't make their payments, and are 90 days late, and if they could just get a better interest rate to help, that would be great. But I don't know what you've done with these properties. I don't know if you own 20 properties and you actually went out and got residential loans for each of them. Did you say that you were actually going to live in those houses each time you got it, that loan? Is that what you did? Did you say that these were commercial properties and you actually put the 35% down that you should have on them to buy them and then rent them out? Did you do everything by the book too? I don't know. But I don't think it's fair to ask everybody to bail you out because now your investment went sour. That doesn't seem fair to me either. 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phones. Sarah joins us on the line from Duluth. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Elise.
What's going on?
Well, I have been for a year or two past due on my mortgage, at one point up to 90 days. I've now gotten it down to where I'm about a half a payment from being current, but I also owe about $1,000 worth of late fees. I can manage all of that, but ideally I would like to try and refinance my home, and I've called my lender and asked about that, and they're refusing to do it. Saying that I'm behind, but my current interest rate is 5.25% and I have a 30-year term. So I would like to find out, you know, with all these federal programs and everything, is there anything that I would qualify for, knowing that I do not qualify for anything as far as a hardship, because I in fact make more money now than I did when
okay.
I bought the home.
So you owe $1,000 in late fees. Technically, you're still behind in your mortgage.
Correct.
So you are late. And when you're late, you don't qualify for the Home Affordable Refinance Program because you have to have made 12 months of on-time payments.
Okay.
So you have to get out from that.
All right.
And because you've been late as much as 90 days, which let me start by saying I'm really glad you're catching up. But since you're making more money, I want you to take $1,000 and I want you to pay it off so that you're truly current, because that's when the clock starts ticking.
Okay.
And you need to then make those payments on time every month for 12 months, and then you should start to qualify for these programs, which have been extended all the way through 2015. The expectation of the government is that mortgage interest rates are going to stay low for at least another year. So if you catch up fully and you make those payments, you're going to be eligible to refinance down the line. Because right now, when you've been late, and you've been as late as 90 days, it doesn't look good for lenders. Now, is your property also underwater?
It is not, actually. Well, if you go by the tax assessment, it's appraising for around 143, 144, and I owe 131, 132, something like that. So barely.
Okay, well, that's great. I don't put much stock in a tax assessment because that it usually is divorced from reality. And even if it's not, that's what it was last year, because that's when they don't do sort of current up to the moment. It's usually in arrears that they take a snapshot of a neighborhood, and that's how they assign it. So maybe last year that's what your property was worth. Maybe it's worth a little more now.
Okay.
So you really need to look at what's selling in your neighborhood, what price it's selling for. Go see some of these houses, see how they compare to yours. Right? When they have open houses, go there.
Okay.
Take a look. Talk to the local real estate agent to ask them what they're seeing that is selling, not listing, what it's selling for. And then you're going to start to develop an idea of value for your own house. And then meanwhile, focus on making all of those on-time payments. And in 6 months, if you actually have... you'll have to pull a copy of your credit history, credit score, see where it is, and then in about 6 months you can test the water. Don't actually apply for a mortgage, but talk to a lender, pull a current credit score, and say, assume my credit score is X, my history is this, is there anything that you can do for me if I have equity in the property? And that's where you're going to start to understand where you are in a lender's eyes.
Okay. And is it worth it? I mean, being that I'm at 5.25, you know, knowing that I would incur closing costs, et cetera, I mean, is that...
Do you have an FHA loan?
You know, I bought, it's a HUD house. I bought it through HUD, and I really don't... Yeah, I would think FHA.
You got to know what kind of loan you have, Sarah. You got to read the paperwork. So go dig out your loan later when you get home, and if it says FHA on the top of it, what you may be able to do is an FHA streamline refinance. I don't know, though, because you have been late. So you also can go to HUD, go to the HUD website, HUD.gov. You can search on the HUD website for FHA streamline refinance and read the rules. I'm not sure if you need to be current for 12 months before you do a streamline refinance. You may just be able to do it.
Okay.
And they're not supposed to charge you very much, just a couple hundred dollars. They're not supposed to pull an appraisal of the property. They're not supposed to verify your income or anything.
Okay.
They're just supposed to lower the interest rate. So if they could do that without verifying anything, like without pulling your credit history, credit score, that would be great. But if they're going to do that, they're going to see you've been late, and that may cause a whole other problem for you.
Okay.
So... go to the website, read the rules, and then figure out how you apply. And I really, truly will tweet this out when we get to the next commercial break, because I know there's a whole bunch of people out there looking for information on FHA streamline refinances, and I want to make sure you get it. 404-872-0750. Alan joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Hi, Alan.
How you doing, Ellie?
I'm good, thank you. What's going on?
Well, I'm a real estate appraiser. And I think your audience is amiss at times from not having the experience about an appraiser on the front end of any potential projects that they may go into at, you know, at a cost of, I'm going to call it $350 to $400, they can get a tremendous amount of knowledge for that particular market area, not just in sales prices, but and what the market's actually doing. I heard the guy earlier talk about buying a piece of vacant land, and I suggest to him highly not to do that.
Well, he already bought, the guy earlier actually bought, you're a little bit, you sound like you're underwater, Alan, so I'm not quite sure, but the guy earlier had actually bought the vacant property and is now going to build a house. I wish he had done a little bit of market research ahead of time. Here's my problem, and I understand that you're an appraiser, but here's my problem with people generally spending $400 for an upfront appraisal that the bank will never be able to use. And what I'm going to say to you, and I don't mean this to be hurtful, but you can go to a number of real estate agents who will look at what properties are selling for in a neighborhood and have sold for and can tell you what's going on and not have to pay the $300 to $400 up front. Because a lot of people feel that if they do that, then they're going to be able to use it for something else. And I'm here to tell you that you can't. And so my feeling is about appraisals is that you shouldn't be paying for them up front. They're not going to stand you in good stead going forward. On the other side, when you get your loan, you're going to need an appraisal, and that's when you should pay for one. 50 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours here on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Five minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time. Don't forget to go to the website thinkglink.com and sign up for the free weekly newsletter. Tony joins us on the line. Hey, Tony, welcome to the program.
Hey, Elise, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on in your world today?
Well, you saved me $4,800 because I called not long ago, or I guess about 3 or 4 months ago. And
how did I do that? Because $4,800 is a lot of money.
They were going to charge me points and closing of $4,800 at my bank to give me a 2.99 15-year fix.
Wow.
And you, when I told you that, you were almost went through the phone. And I used to, you know, I could tell, but you professionally couldn't tell me where to go.
Well, No. It was not about you. It was where the lender should go.
Well, yeah. Well, I told them that.
Yeah, and what did he say?
Well, ended up going to someone else. And then, you know, I guess to make a long story short, I never checked my company that actually had my mortgage now. I guess they saw me shopping around or something.
Uh-huh.
And they sent me something very attractive. Well, they refinanced the house with no points in closing. They actually sent me a check for 67 cents to make the loan work.
Wow.
It was a $70,000 loan, so nobody wanted to talk to me. It had to be over $300,000. You know, biggest
no-brainer,
just universe, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, I finally got somebody, my own mortgage company, if I'd have just thought of them first. But the thing is I got a pretty high interest rate, I thought, but it didn't cost me anything. And the lawyer told me to close. She goes, you need to refinance this right away. I mean, you know, why not? You know, it didn't cost you anything. I said, you're right. But how long do I have to wait? This is my question. In between the time that I refinance to where I can refinance it again.
You could refinance within weeks. It doesn't really matter. It's whatever your personal pain tolerance is, right? But I'm delighted that I saved you $4,800. And if you can save yourself more and refinance again without closing costs and points, you don't need to wait. You can go and do that and start saving money immediately. And that's all the better. This time, Tony, shop it around ahead of time. Talk to five different lenders and work out a way to get your home run refinance, which I talk about on my website at thinklink.com. All right, it's 58 minutes past the hour. I have to go. You hear the music. In the meantime, visit thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter. Make sure you check out the Equifax Finance blog and my blog at CBS News Money Watch, where we are following all of the trends in real estate and the news you need to stay on top of. Have a great week, everybody, and happy Mother's Day next Sunday. I'll be back with more on the Elyse Blink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time.